Welcome to the Athlete Plus Network. It is the official podcast network of the Institute of Coaching Excellence, a research and educational outreach center in the College of Health and Human Performance at the University of Florida. I'm Kevin Carr, CEO of ProtoCEO, an industry professor at UF, and I serve as the host of The Hit Show, which means How I Transition. The Hit Show is a podcast devoted to talking to current and former athletes on and off the court about their transitions, but also the unique people behind the scenes who support these athletes, coaches, teams, organizations, and their transition stories to educate all listeners and advance the profession of coaching and supporting athletes. It's going to be a great show today. I have my friend and colleague today who is a former athlete herself and serves now as a performance coach, Dr. Lauren Loberg, who comes to us from the great state of Utah. Before we jump to the show, I've got to give her accolades and read her bio because it's quite impressive. Dr. Loberg brings extensive background experience in elite sport performance counseling and coaching, and also brings a unique academic and athletic experience to her background. She served as a student athlete in college, as a gymnast, as well as a diver. Tell me, dual sports, triple, quadruple degree, she's got it all. Dr. Loberg's philosophy in terms of working with her athletes on well-being is she believes it's important to remember that athletes are not special people, but people with special talents, which I really like. Got to write that down. Therefore, it's imperative that an athlete is provided with appropriate support to find their success. Listen, I can't wait to get into the show today, so we're going to go right into it. Dr. Loberg, welcome to the Hit Show.
Thank you. It's great to see you, and I'm excited to be here.
Well, you know, I wanted people to know you a little bit, so this might come as a little curve for you, but tell us, who is Lauren Loberg? Before Dr. Loberg, who is Lauren Loberg?
Wow, that is a curveball. Who am I? Well, I think I definitely try to practice what I preach, and which is not easy, and continue to like love the outdoors and get outside and be active and, you know, and then can just continue to learn, even though it's like tied to my career, but I think I would be like in it. That in any career.
I love that. Look, there's so much to you that I know that doesn't do it justice, but I love the way you approached it. Thank you. Look, you've had a fascinating journey from being a gymnast and elite diver to becoming a doctor of sports performance. Can you share the key moments that led you to your current work in terms of helping and enhancing the total wellness of athletes, particularly in a field we don't talk about a lot, winter sports?
Mm-hmm. I think transition can be a windy road. I've had a really windy road. You know, the influence on sports performance started with my gymnastics coach. She did a lot of sports performance. I was young, 8, 9 years old. I didn't necessarily know what she was doing, or that there was a name to it, I guess. But we implemented it into our training, continued and worked with a sports psych in college who had a huge impact for my post-collegiate career. And I think when I transitioned out of sport due to injury, I didn't go into sports performance because I thought going to grad school and finishing at 30 would be really old and seemed like not the right path. And then, so I was an environmental scientist. And then at 30, decided that I didn't love what I was doing and went back to grad school to get my doctorate and my master's.
Wow. So you've had some really good career stops with all that education. Particularly, I want to focus on, you've had some varying roles, really exclusive and very limited access. Can you discuss your role in developing programs for the U.S. ski and snowboard organizations, as well as the NFL, to address the wellness of athletes? You know, you've had both. Can you talk about both, and then some of the unique challenges you've encountered in each of the settings? That's a big question, but we want it all here.
Yeah, I think when I got to the ski team, there wasn't a program in place. So I had to kind of develop that out. And I think one of the reasons that led me to get into this space was when I, as I said, I got injured and my coach was like, I'm not worried about you. And I just thought, if you're not worried about me, who is? And I had all the things. I had a good education. I had a supportive family. I had, you know, like all the things you're supposed to do, and transition's still hard. But I think also at the ski team, building out, it's a little different because not all the sports that are there go through the NC2A process. So you have to help them figure out, some of them, how are you going to finish high school? Will you go to college? If you are, how do we do that? You're kind of going to university somewhere else, and then you're in Europe or on the road all the time. And some choose to not pursue that, and some do. But it might take, I mean, I know athletes, it took them 10 years to finish their degree based on their travel and whatnot. And so I built out a role where I helped them transition onto the team through injuries, transition throughout, you know, up different levels of training, as well as transition off the team and building out like what's next.
So would you say that in one way, that's kind of what that level needed? How different was that from like the NFL? I mean, going from that to like an NFL now?
I think one, it's a lot more athletes. I mean, I was only working with the national team. So it was a lot. It was probably 250 athletes, you know, and then there's, you know, 1800 current players and then people who come in and out. So it's a much more broader program. I think a lot of the issues that come up, I would still say they're very similar in terms of you're still trying to teach them time management and how, what's next. And I guess the difference is the amount of money you're dealing with, you know, someone, but I had a snowboarder whose mom cleaned out her account and that was, you know, it was $5,000. And then you have a football player whose parents are different people, you know, clean out their accounts and maybe you're talking about $5 million, but it's still, how do you manage parents? It's a little different because I think skiing and snowboarding is a more expensive sport. So some parents feel that they deserve something back for putting them through the system. But I think a lot of the same things are, you know, an athlete's an athlete. And like I said, everybody has to transition.
I like that part, meaning it's a lot of the same. Obviously, there's some unique people and culture and environment. But at the end of the day, competing, the highs and lows of injuries, you know, the rigors of travel, the lifestyle, the management of your time or too much time, lack of time, gets certain athletes into trouble. So well said. Let me ask you this. In your work, you focus on helping athletes find balance and improving their performance, mental balance to improve their performance. Could you elaborate on the importance of mental well-being and athletic success on and off the field?
Yeah, I like to kind of look at all the things we're dealing with on the mental side as kind of a prehab, because everybody understands now that you have to do prehab to prevent injury and all these different things. And if you're stressed, you're more open to injury. But the concept of mentally preparing and mental recovery, I know everybody, for the most part, at the level of athletes I work with, they understand, oh, I have to spin out my muscles, I have to recover, I have to roll it out, all those different things, but a lot of them don't get any mental recovery. And some of that might be because, you know, when they're not competing, they're have their head in the books. And because they don't have a lot of spare time, there isn't a lot of mental recovery. And they're definitely, when I talk about balance, I mean, I try to stay balanced as well. There are times in our season that there's not a lot of balance. And so it's not, I think people think like, oh, it's a 50-50 thing. And there's times where it's not. There's times where I'm like, balance this week might be like you just kind of sit and quiet your mind for like 5 minutes, maybe less, you know, depending on what's going on, you know, in the season or in your career. I think, but then there are other times where I will tell athletes like, season's over. I don't want to hear from you for a month. Like, I don't want you focusing on, like, we'll always do a review of the season. And then I want you to take a break and step away from it, even though, of course, they're still training physically and different things. But if you consistently think about it all the time, you get worn out.
Sometimes you need a break even from the coaching and the counseling and such. So that's a great point. When I see you've been able sort of to get in a space where, you know, someone who's involved in the sports psychology and wellness space, you've learned about the challenges in this space, you know, particularly as a female, are there specific things you can share about that, that sort of can help other women break through and go to levels like you have from the Olympic side to the pro sports side?
Yeah, it's definitely difficult. I would say I was blind to all of that in grad school. I took a course, Women in Sport, and I actually fought with my professor all the time because I was like, I didn't experience this. I mean, I had male and female coaches. I had all male sports psychs, you know, and so I was just like, I didn't experience that. And then I had to go back to her later. I went to an IOC Women in Sport conference. And I was sent because it didn't apply to us, which was not the case, obviously. And I had to go back to my professor with my tail between the legs and saying, like, everything you've talked about has happened plus. But I think usually when I'm in front of the athletes, it's not an issue. It's more like a corporation or an organization is they're looking for something specific. You know, and we've talked about this, you know, well, we want a black male. I don't fit that space, you know, not even close. Or they'll say, you know, we want this. I think there's something to be said is like, we can all validate whatever someone's looking for. I had a boss who would say, you know, football players, former players want to talk to former players. Well, he was a former player, and people who wanted to solely talk to former players went to him to talk about it. So that validates his concept. People who did not want to talk to a former player or someone tied to the football realm as closely would come and talk to me. So if I thought that's the only thing, then that validates me. I think there's a space for everybody, and I'm not for everybody. And you have to also recognize that. And then just allow, you know, make sure you're a good fit for what you do and what people like, but it doesn't all fit into one package. That's why there should be lots of us offering services.
I like that. Not one size fits all. And I think that speaks to organizations who have diverse staffs can often perform in different ways and bring different skill sets and different experiences. And that creates, to me, organizational performance opportunities that sometimes you don't always get when you don't have that much of a diverse makeup of your team. Talk about your thoughts on your balance. We talk about the people that you're providing. How do you balance yourself out to life's challenges that you face? You know, how do you maintain that? And what advice would you give to others to perhaps pursue things that are going to help them not be as stressed if they're transitioning from one sport and now they got to go into their careers, but you also have to find time for yourself?
It's hard, right? Obviously. But I think you have to know, and this is something I try to work on with the athletes when they're doing sports, like what are your other things? Because, or an injured athlete, because I was injured so many times. And I think for many of us, working out is an outlet. But then what do you do when you can't work out? That's one of my big outlets. Obviously, I was telling you earlier, I work out with a trainer 4 days a week. I go to physical therapy. I ski as much as I can. You know, I get outside as much as I can, which is why I've chosen Park City. My quality of life here is a lot better than anywhere else I've lived. But I like to read. So I read every night before I go to bed. I like to do art. I journal. I have a lot of different things, but everybody's got to find their own thing. And I try to emphasize it can't just be running or that's a great outlet. But at some point, many of us, your body's not going to hold up to keep doing what you want to do. So, or doing it the way you want. And so it's important to like keep working on that so you can keep doing the things you love. But also, like I said, if you get injured or you can't do something or you're traveling or whatever, you have to have other things to go to. My big support is my family. At the Sochi Olympics, I called my parents every morning and every night, I think, depending on the time zone. And then I had one colleague who was a sports psych for Norway, and we met up every day and kind of didn't really talk about sports.
So you find it really useful to make sure you have more than the one or two things and be okay knowing that it's a process, it's exploration. And if one thing goes away, especially like through injury, you want to be able to find a way to really take care of yourself. I love that a lot. And I hope our listeners are taking heed of that. Now we get a chance to speed up the show here, Dr. Moberg. This is the speed round you've entered. You're on the clock. You now have to give us one word or as close to one word as possible responses. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Tick, 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 tick. What are the three things you can't live without?
Outdoors, family, and friends.
Awesome. Where was the best vacation you've ever taken?
Lhasa, Tibet.
Never would have guessed that one. Favorite exercise?
Anything outside.
Did you have a pre-race ritual or routine, or before you did your gymnast routines, you followed during your diving and swimming career?
Yes, in diving, absolutely. Some things were more just habit, you know, and then some things definitely like visualization and breathing and that kind of.
Your favorite music or song that gets you pumped during training?
I don't really have one because we were in the water.
Which movie can you watch again and again and again and again and again?
Hoosiers.
If you were an animal, what would it be?
A dolphin.
Love it. You are killing it. That ends the speed round. I want to begin our transition because we certainly got to be respectful of your time throughout your career. You've done a lot. You know, what are the key learnings you've gained that you believe can be valuable advice for athletes, professionals, male, female, as they're pursuing careers that they want to do? Even if you want to give a little plug for sports psychology, that's fine. But just overall, what would you advise?
I think keep learning, and I think know what you know and know what you don't know. I think we have a lot of people right now who are, I can do it all and offer everything. And that's a slippery slope that you think you are until all of a sudden maybe you're putting someone in jeopardy. As a former athlete, we have a lot of experience, but that doesn't mean it's my expertise. So I have to stick with, you know, on the physical side, like I've been injured. I was on a first name basis with my orthopedic surgeon when I was like 9, but that doesn't mean I'm a physical therapist or things like that.
I love that because so many people, like your athlete particularly, and you should be able to go into coaching, doesn't mean you are meant for that. Know what you know and know what you don't know. Dr. Lauren, that is like gold. I appreciate that. Let me ask you now then, what do you think is, as you are working and doing your best work, looking at your career, what legacy do you hope to leave behind in the realm of sports psychology?
You know, I don't know how broad it is. Like, people ask me, how do you know you did your job? And it's not something that an organization really would care about, to be honest. Like I just had a former athlete. I worked with her when she was 10 and she's now, I don't know, 25, 26 and she's pregnant and sent me a note. Or when they say, my legacy is, I guess I want them to be able to use all the things we work on as athletes in sports psychology. Those are life skills and I want them to use it far past that. And hopefully, you know, take a little piece of what we've worked on and pay it forward.
I love that. Dr. Loberg, we want to make sure we continue to follow you, support you, consume you. Are there some unique things that are coming up that we can go and either come see you or we go out and purchase, or how can we follow you on social media platforms to keep the learning going forward with you?
I have a website that is pyramidperformance.net. It's probably going to have an overhaul here pretty soon. And you can always reach out to me on LinkedIn or through that website. And I'm happy to answer questions or help individuals who are looking for either services or looking into the career. Cause that's one thing I try to pay it forward when I can.
Awesome. So you hear that, no reason not to seek great help. Dr. Loberg has had her, a plethora of experiences that she can help many people. With that being the case, I want to thank you in closing. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Dr. Loberg, affectionately Lauren, on this side for me, for being on the Hit Show today, and the University of Florida thanks you. We would love to continue to stay in touch with you, so we're going to follow you and encourage other people to do the same here. The Hit Show should be saved by all who are listeners and shared by you to others who you believe who can benefit, because you learn things about the hidden transitions and some of the most undervalued skills, not just networking and speaking and, you know, connecting dots, et cetera, is the skill of transition. I believe it will help you in sports, business, and beyond. So in closing, again, we are here and I'm Kevin Carr, the host of the Hit Show, but I'm also the CEO of Protoseal, where we curate transitions for sports and organizations as well. So feel free to follow us at protoceo.com. I want to thank again the University of Florida and the Athlete Plus Podcast Network, which is part of the Institute of Coaching and Coaching Excellence at the College of Health and Human Performance at the University of Florida. The Hit Show does not end without our signature outro from our esteemed guests. So before we end, Lauren, take it away.
You have listened to Dr. Lauren Loberg on The Hit Show.
Awesome. Thank you, Dr. Loberg.
Thank you.
And the University of Florida, thank you. Again, keep listening and share this episode so it can help many people. And we are out.